Well, good morning again, and again, thank you for joining us for worship, and as we continue our study through the book of Hebrews. There are a lot of great things about being a kid. Life can be so much simpler. A good bowl of cereal and Saturday morning cartoons or westerns meant that all was right with the world. You remember those days? Some of you maybe a little further than others. But as kids, our largest problems or worries were so much different than they are as adults, aren't they? I mean, as a kid, a major crisis might include who got the prize out of the bottom of the cereal box. Or maybe when your sister wanted to watch My Little Pony when it was clearly time for G.I. Joe. Sometimes I watch my teenagers and laugh as they experience the same types of things we used to think were the end of the world. Nothing in the world could be worse than not having the right brand of shoes or the latest gadget craze. I remember my older sister crying in the living room until Dad finally gave in and took her shopping for Jordache jeans. I don't think that exists anymore, but my goodness, or the Nike Air Jordans, or whatever it was. Or like our sons were like, I'm the only 13-year-old in the world that doesn't have a cell phone. And we were upset when we couldn't get that 3-foot cord untangled, right? Mom, can you leave the kitchen so I can have some privacy? But as adults, our problems are different. Our problems are harder. What happens when we lose a job and still have to pay the bills? What happens when a spouse wants a divorce? What happens when there's a cancer diagnosis? When we face problems as adults, we long for the carefree, innocent days when the sound of the ice cream truck could make it the best day ever. And as we all know, we can't stay young and innocent forever. We all have to grow up and face life. But you know, growing up comes with a few perks, right? Driving a car, independence, freedom, marriage, children, and hopefully for most, a chance to live and experience life in a whole new way. And once you have your first kid, you learn a whole lot more about growing up, don't you? Time changes when you have kids. We see things differently when we have kids. And we try just as hard as our parents did to teach our kids to avoid the same mistakes that we made. We want our kids to be better, stronger, smarter, and have it better than we did. And as kids grow, our expectation levels change. Each year, we expect our kids to grow, to learn, and to develop. And all of us have said this to our kids at one time or another. Ah, grow up. Stop being a baby. Stop being a baby. I think Carla just told me that the other day. It's worth a try. I'm not saying it worked. But we expect our kids to give up the bottle, don't we? And eventually give up the sippy cup. We expect them to go from baby food and a high chair to sitting at the table and eating with utensils. And hopefully we're trying to teach them manners and the appropriate way to act. In our house, it's hat off at the table, right? It would seem silly to allow a child to suck the thumb, wear diapers, and crawl everywhere in grade school, doesn't it? And with that thought in mind, let us now go to our passage in Hebrews chapter 5. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again.
So the writers of Hebrews, if we were to cover every single verse,
is dealing with some meatier subjects, like meat, meatier, like heavy, weighted subjects through the first 4.5 chapters of this book. He has gone into great detail on how Jesus is greater than the angels, how Jesus is greater than Moses. And now he's beginning to get into some heavier topics, including the promises to Abraham, the priest, Melchizedek. The text in the Hebrew goes into some complex theology about how Jesus comes as both our great high priest and the Lamb. Stuff that's really deep. But the problem is that his audience, some of the people, don't understand what is being said to them. The depth of the teaching is going way over their heads. And he calls these people out and boldly tells them, all right, enough is enough. You have been Christians long enough. In fact, you have been Christians so long that by now you should be the ones teaching it. And then he goes on to say, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. What the author is saying here, as a Christian, stop being a baby and grow up. And this still applies today. So many Christians have been in the church most of their lives, and yet they haven't even cut their first tooth yet. They're still on milk. Most Christians barely know the children's Bible stories, let alone many of our crucial biblical truths. And we wonder why the church is struggling and wrestling with so many issues. You know, it's amazing to me how many people ask this question. Does the Bible really say that? And what is scary, not only do they not know what is in the Bible, too many of them don't care what's in the Bible. See, as we learn and grow in the Word of God, it will help us to distinguish good from evil. It will help us stay on the path of righteousness. It will help make us true disciples of Jesus Christ. Because how can we go make disciples of Jesus Christ? You remember that verse, go make disciples of all the world? How can you make a disciple if you're not even one yourself? And we cannot be prepared to battle with Satan if we are still infants in our Christianity. All Christians, not just pastors, are called to determine what is good teaching and what is false teaching. From 1 John, he says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Do you see how this applies to what's going on today in the churches of America? We have people who are twisting, turning, and even ignoring the scripture to make worldly beliefs become Christian beliefs. And if we are not trained, if we are not equipped, then we will fall for the devil's schemes. So what do we need to do? The author of Hebrews tells us this. He says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. The author of Hebrews says, let's move on. Let's stop being babies. Let us move on to bigger things, to greater things, to deeper things, more important things. And each of us need to stop and look at where we stand with God. Where do we stand in our Christian walk? Are we still on milk when we should be dining on meat? Do you have trouble even with the elementary teachings of the Bible? Are you using your knowledge to be able to teach others? Too many people are content on where they stand. And many have the basics of Christianity. Something as simple as 2 plus 2 equals 4. I love Jesus, He forgives me, and I go to heaven. And that is great, because that is our first steps into salvation. That is all we need. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to get salvation. You need simple faith, simple math. I have sin, God takes away sin, that equals salvation. That is great. Jesus did say, come to me with the faith of a child. But He never said we were intended to stay there. We were intended for so much more. And growing in Christ does so much more for us as Christians. We are called to protect the integrity of the gospel and are called to preserve unity within the church. Paul writes this in Romans 16. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. People will use and misuse scriptures to hear what they want. In Timothy, Paul says they will find teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. The gospel and the truth about Jesus Christ is not about what we want to hear. It is not about political correctness. It is not about us changing the gospel to fit our beliefs. It is about us changing our beliefs to fit the gospel. Because the gospel never changes. Let me say that again. It isn't about us changing the gospel to fit our beliefs. It's about us changing our beliefs to fit the gospel, because the gospel never changes. We live in a world where people need to know the truth. And how will we share this truth if we are not growing in it, if we are not living in it? And there are times where we will be attacked for our beliefs. And we must know the truth and defend the truth. And the shame is that Christianity is not only being attacked by the outside world. As we see in our own denomination, Christians are attacking each other. And it is sad to see that preachers and teachers and others are filling our pulpits and classrooms with garbage. And when a person is living as an infant in Christianity, when a person is still taking milk, that person becomes vulnerable to these false teachings. It's easy to believe because it sounds good. It sounds nice. It sounds wonderful. And I can tell you, there's a lot of teachers out there that sound so convincing, but couldn't be more wrong. Why are so many Christians still drinking milk and sitting in a high chair? Because God is leading us to so much more. The authors of Hebrews says, stop being a baby. God wants us in small group meetings where we can be fed and grow so we can stop being babies. God wants us in Sunday school where we can be nourished with healthy teachings and stop being babies. God wants us here in our services, learning and teaching, sharing, supporting, and doing more for each other so that we can stop being babies. Yet week in and week out, most of us are still asking for the minimum. A lot of people want a soft, easy to digest, and short sermon each week so that they can walk out and feel good. Wasn't that nice? What a nice little message he had today. And there are some people who are newer to faith who do need milk, and sometimes they need the simple truth. There are those who need the bottles. There are those who are at the beginning of their faith, and we need to hold their hands like we do children and say, let me explain it to you. Let me help you. Let me put it in terms that you can understand. But for some of you, do you realize coming the first week in July, we have been together for 5 years? And I should not be making some of you bottles. Five years, some of you are still in the same state of faith that you were. It's time to get off the bottle. It's time to stop being a baby. I'll sum it up with these words from Hebrews 6. Let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. And God permitting, we will do so. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, to receive what you have fully for us, we need to be mature enough to receive it. Lord, there are people here with spiritual gifts that they haven't even touched yet, because they haven't grown into the maturity where they can use them. Lord, we have the opportunity to be a powerful presence in this community, to go and win people for you. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to fill each of us, to encourage, to push, to create in us a desire to grow in our faith so that we can fully realize your full blessing. Lord, we've come a long way, but we have much more to go. Be with us, lead us, guide us, and teach us so that we may become fully mature and be the full church that you've called us to be. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You need to believe that.
that if you're willing to get off the milk, you're willing to dig in and take in some meat, God can use you anywhere and anytime. Our Wednesday night prayer is important. Our Sunday morning Bible study is important. We're going to be starting things called class meetings that are going to be important. And if you want to make this church grow, you have to grow. Do you get that? If you want to make this church grow, you have to grow. Because when you are growing in your faith, it changes you, it changes your testimony, and it leads you to powerful things through Jesus Christ. That is something you got to believe. That is something you have to claim. And if you want to think it makes a difference, ask Danny what Sunday school does. Ask Betsy what Sunday school does. Ask Donna. Ask anybody who's in that Sunday school class what it does for them. And I can tell you, they have grown tremendously in the last year. It will change what you believe. It'll change your hope. It'll change your perspective on your faith. And you won't have to live in fear. You can live in joy. And you can lead other people to Christ. Let us leave here as people eager to grow in our faith, eager to live out our faith, and eager to lead other people to faith. Go now as God's people, eager for more. Let us go in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.